welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely terrific day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful as I watch the Democrats completely destroy each other on the debate. What an absolute mess last night. In fact, my buddy Gene kind of said it best. Let me tell you what he said.
You going to put me on the show today, brother?
Yeah, he's going to be on the show today, so get ready. Here we go.
Did you see that last night? Is that the worst display of presidential candidates you've ever seen in your life? I mean, it's incredible what is being offered this year or this term. But I did enjoy Bloomberg getting roasted. He got roasted twice as much as anybody else. And you could tell he's not used to people talking to him like that. I mean, there's a couple of times his reaction was, you can almost tell he'd like to set all of them up on a firing line by firing squad and get rid of them. I mean, he had that look. It's almost like people talking down to Hitler. He just didn't do it. I bet people don't ever talk down to that guy because he's got so much money and clout. He doesn't put himself in that position. You can tell he's not used to criticism, especially in front of a lot of people. I enjoyed that. I hope he got put in his spot, but I'm sure he didn't. He's probably going to get pissed off and come back even stronger with his money. You watch. He's going to really put out some cash now.
I just thought I'd play that. Gene said that so succinctly, I couldn't have said it any better than that, Austin. And the crazy part about it is, you know, Mike Bloomberg completely shrugs off the beatdown he took last night. He basically already says he's already spent $400 million. I mean, gosh. And he said he's just warming up, and pundits warned he could be out by Super Tuesday after rivals rained down blows on his record of sexism and race. So, guys, yeah, he was pretty misogynist on some of the comments that he was making. And he did say horse-face lesbian, I guess. Apparently that was quoted by one of the candidates. And it's just funny. I love to watch it. They're calling him Mini Mike, the Mini Tyrant, Tiny Tyrant. I mean, it was so funny to watch this. And just watch the Democrats completely and totally implode. Also, what do you think, bud?
I didn't get to see that last night. I did already see some stuff in the alternative media last night about what happened, though. And always remember, Bloomberg's another banker cutout boy. I mean, when you start having the ability to go literally pump hundreds of millions of dollars into a failing campaign and not even bat an eye. I mean, to most people, $1 million, that's a lot of money. You're talking about $400 million, and to be so arrogant to say he's just warming up. And that guy's, I mean, he's a whole sideshow in himself. And it's funny, it's almost ironic that this whole thing with the Democratic presidential candidates has literally turned into a circus show. It's like Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. It really is. People are watching it now with the whole aspect of it's a circus show. It's like a comedy act. It's like stand-up comedy now. These guys are such clowns. And, I mean, it really is funny. But also, too, in other news, this is something that I wanted to bring up. You guys know yesterday I talked into detail about how the massive inactivity with a lot of these children is causing obesity and all types of issues as far as behavioral disorders. And we've seen now that the obesity levels since beginning of 1980 in children has quadrupled now. And there's a research study that came out that's now starting to link glyphosate and the massive vaccine shot schedule to obesity as well. They said as of 2016, there are around 14 million U.S. children and adolescents who basically were classified as obese. Another 17% were overweight. Even worse, a third of those classified as obese fell in the category of extremely obese. They said in the adolescent age group, 12 to 19, obesity prevalence has quadrupled since 1980, and researchers are even more concerned by the worsening picture in 2 to 5-year-olds. Studies show that the early onset of weight gain has long-term risk. When children start kindergarten overweight, they are 4 times more likely to become obese by 8th grade as normal weight kindergartners. Given the growing evidence that environmental chemicals are key obesity triggers, it makes sense to consider what exposures are increasing this. Multiple papers have been published over the last decade and a half. Immunologist J.B. Clayson has been making the case that vaccine-induced immune overload, which he also refers to as over-immune stimulation, is a huge cause of the obesity epidemic, in his opinion, and other inflammatory disease epidemics, arguing that a huge increase in inflammation-associated disorders has followed on the heels of the massive increase in the childhood vaccine schedule that started in the late 80s. Clayson points out that the epidemic of obesity in the U.S. children has a statistically significant positive correlation with the number of vaccine doses recommended. Goal also goes into detail on glyphosate and how glyphosate was also introduced in the late 80s, and the prevalence of glyphosate is so heavy now in the United States that it's not only just causing obesity issues with children. We've talked about this repeatedly, all the different health problems that we're starting to see, chronic health problems, especially main ones with digestive system problems like Crohn's disease and all these other problems that people are starting to experience now. And when you start looking at it, you start looking at this medical industrial complex, how it's designed to keep people wrapped up in it. So they eat the food that makes them sick. They go to the doctor for this. They go on medication that causes this problem. They keep eating the same food that causes the problem. And it's just a vicious circle round and round. And now these kids are becoming obese at such a young age. I mean, there's mountains of evidence to show you as far as when children are obese at a young age, that pretty much the guarantee of significant health problems their entire life is pretty much almost 100%. Because, I mean, you can't be 200-300 pounds when you're, you know, a young teenager and trying to grow and develop and not expect those things to follow you the rest of your life. And I mean, I knew a girl when I was younger, very good friends of mine, and I remember even dad tried to sit down and help her out, and basically her mom tried to help her mom out because they owned a vending machine company. And so they constantly had candy, cookies, crackers, everything around their house all the time. And I remember I'd go over to their house as a young kid, and, you know, I remember all this stuff. I mean, mountains of candy, mountains of M&M's, Snickers, Reese's. Literally, it was like a candy shop in their house because they ran a vending machine company. So they were constantly going out and filling all this stuff. And the daughter, my friend, ended up becoming, I mean, massively obese when she got older. Even at a young age, she was obese. And the problem was that followed her around the rest of her life. And then she ended up doing basically, I think, the band on her stomach, and ended up having all kinds of health problems after that. But what I'm saying is, make sure you're not using an excuse to just give your children whatever they want and you don't think there's going to be ramifications of it. The food even now today is so much more toxic than it was even in the 80s. And then on top of that, you have, like they said here, this massive, massive immune response that we're seeing with these children being shot up with half a dozen immunizations all at one time, repeatedly throughout their whole entire childhood career, and it's just causing so many problems. So understand that the vaccines are contributing to it, the horrible dietary aspect, especially with fast food being so prevalent now. I mean, you know, the biggest restaurant chain in the entire United States is McDonald's. I mean, that says a lot for the health of the United States right there. I think the second one's like Starbucks. That says a whole lot for the quality control of the, you know, what kids are drinking now. Not to mention, that's one of the most liberal entities on the planet when it comes to coffee shops. And you see these things, and then you tie that back into exactly what I talked about yesterday, the inactivity with these children, never going outside hardly anymore, constantly staying on the phones. Because you think about it, when you're on an iPad, for the most part, unless you're like watching an iPad while you're doing a cardio machine, but other than that, when you're on an iPad, you're usually inactive. When you're on a computer, you're usually inactive. You can't walk around with a phone or an iPad. I mean, you've seen people do it online. They've run into poles and gotten hit by cars and everything else. That's actually a real problem we're starting to see now, is injuries caused by iPhone obsession, where people stare at their phones while they're walking around and walk into objects. But again, get your kids outside. Let them play. Let them ride bicycles. Let them climb trees. Let them go, you know, tear stuff up sometimes. I mean, obviously, you know, keep an eye on on that. Don't let it get excessive. And keep their diet under control. There's no problem with allowing them to have a little bit of junk food, especially if you get organic junk food. I mean, cookies, organic ice cream or something occasionally. But don't let it become such a staple that it's something they want and have to have every single day. Because I know how Hunter is, my son. He's so clean as far as his diet. I've kept his diet all the way from, you know, Lana, him in the womb, all the way to currently. I've kept his diet so clean. He's so sensitive to specific foods. Lana bought a bunch of organic cookies for Kendall's dedication we had the other day. And they were completely organic, but they had organic sugar in them. And I gave him one. He had some food the other day. He wanted one. I said, yeah, you know, big old chocolate chip cookies. And he had one. And, I mean, he was off the wall for like 45 minutes. I mean, could not sit still, running laps around the barn, running laps outside on his bicycle, jumping on a tree, I'm just wide open. And I'm sitting there looking at him like, this is insane. And obviously, you know, it doesn't hurt him. He's running around. He's getting energy out. But it shows you in most cases, a lot of times this ADHD diagnosis that they give these kids and these Adderall medications and Ritalin and all the stuff they put on them, in most cases, from what I've personally seen, the kids don't have a deficiency of amphetamine salts like Adderall. They simply have an overexposure to foods that are high in sugar and high processed and have red dyes, blue dyes, yellow dyes on all those foods. They massively increase the hyperactivity problems in young children, sugar being a huge contributor to that, because what it does in the body at a very young age. So understand what your children are being exposed to and do the best you can to keep their diet as clean as possible and off the electronics as much as possible, Dad.
You know, Austin, that was very, very well said. And I remember the girl very, very, very well who became, well, she went up to about 300, 350 pounds. And I remember she was 8 years old, and her mom was interesting. Her mom, they don't listen to the show, so I can say a few things. I mean, you know, her mom, there are people out there. Let me do it in general. There are people out there who make the same mistakes over and over and over again, wondering why the outcome's not any different. And it's very frustrating to deal with that. And there's people out there who don't really think through what they're doing and how it's affecting other people. And this is one of the signs of concrete rational thought, when you're able to actually do that, get involved, and be able to think through. Like, if I do this, what's it going to do to me? Is it okay? You have to ask yourself that question. It's like hanging out with certain friends. If I hang out with this person, what's it going to do to me? And is that okay? You have to ask yourself these questions. And you have to do it in advance before you make those choices. Because, you know, we all have crossroad decisions. We all have decisions that forever impact our lives. You know, they're turning point decisions. I've told you some of mine before on the show. There's no reason to get redundant on it. But I remember when this young girl was 8 years old, I asked her mom, I said, you know, can I please talk to her? And I said, she's about 30 pounds overweight. And I said, this isn't going to get any better if she doesn't change. And she said, I don't care what she does. This is mom. Mom says, I don't care what she does. If she wants to get obese, let her get obese. Not my problem. The girl's 8. Mom says this. Very, very, very bad parent. Very bad parent. People say, well, it's true, you don't have to be involved with your kids. No, you don't have to. And being involved with kids, it's incredibly difficult to do it and do it consistently. That's the problem, is the consistency. So I took the little girl in and I talked to her for about, oh God, 5 minutes. Didn't make one bit of difference. Because like Austin said, all the stuff was available in the house. And then she had getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The whole story is very, very sad. Now she's got all kinds of health issues because of the gastric banding or the bypass surgery or whatever she had done. And she ended up losing like 200 pounds. And with the weight loss came her health loss. And now she's sick all the time. And it's just sad. And it's sad. Another story was, you know, my brother-in-law, Todd, he's dead now. He's about 8, 9 years old. Same thing, 30, 40 pounds overweight. I talked to Sharon's dad about helping him with his diet. This is, gosh, 30 years ago. And they basically told me to mind my own business. Now, I know that sounds odd to you guys, but it's pretty much what they said. And, you know, and I said, okay, no, not a problem. And so I warned them of socialization, self-esteem issues, all of this, if he continued to get bigger and bigger. And he did. He ended up getting about 200 pounds overweight, and he got huge, and he got gigantic. And then the only people that really wanted to accept him were the other people that were the hippies and the druggies and everything else. And they accept pretty much everybody because they're I'm not going to go any further than that. But what had happened is he ended up dying of a heroin overdose about 6 years ago. In fact, it happened right after after we started the show. And the thing that's crazy about all of this stuff is you try to warn people in advance, like the parents. You try to say, look, here's the deal. It's just like the vaccines. You say to them, can you do some research on this vaccine before you inject it into this newborn? No, I don't want to do that. Doctor told me to use it. Okay, here are the side effects of the vaccine. I don't care. I'm not going to bother with that. I just want to go ahead and get it over with because my pediatrician said I need to do it and the in-laws said I have to do it. Okay, here are 300 clinical articles saying that this stuff can cause autism, all these different diseases, cancer. Don't care. Not going to happen to my kid. And you're like, what the heck? And guys, this is the problem that we have, is that closed-mindedness, that you're not willing to be coachable. Someone says to you, have you heard about Jesus Christ? Yes, not interested. Okay. Have you heard about the relationship that you could have with God Almighty through Jesus Christ? Yeah, not interested. Go away. Leave me alone. So it's that same mindset that says, hey, can I help you with figuring out about this vaccination thing? And you know, every once in a while you'll talk to somebody about it. You'll find a pregnant woman be walking around in a grocery store with her husband, and you're with your wife, and this happens to me on occasion. And I start talking to them about what are they going to do as far as the choices they've made. And if they ask me questions back, at that point in time, I start communicating with them as far as what they can expect. But if they don't want to be interested, if they don't want to talk about it, I just walk away. Because I've learned, guys, not everybody wants to listen. You know, a lot of people are exposed to Jesus Christ. A lot of people have the ability to accept Christ as their Lord or Savior, but they're not interested. You say, well, you should try to work harder. You should work harder to try to get them saved. Well, you need to pray for them, and you need to continue to, when you see them, to try to work with them if they're friends of yours. But here's the thing. Not everybody's going to get it. You say, what do you mean, Ted? I'm not being facetious here. Not everybody's going to get a fact. Get it. They need Jesus Christ in their life. They're going to be programmed at a very young age for transhumanism. They're going to be programmed at a very young age for transgenderism. They're going to be programmed at a very young age to hear things they should not hear and see things they should not see, what's going to change them internally. And they're not going to ever have the open heart to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what Jesus said. You know, don't stop these little children from coming unto me. You know, because whoever accepts me as a little child does in his heart, he's the one who accepts, you know, basically who gets saved. And these little children, that's why they want to get them so young while they're still in a theta brainwave state, so they don't have the ability to turn back around from the lifestyle they've chosen. I've talked about this in depth, but I'm not going to go into it today because there's no point, you know, in doing it. I've already covered it once this week on the show, and that's why they get these kids involved in this sick, perverted stuff at a very, very young age. And that's what we need to understand that's going on here. And we have to see who's doing it, why they're doing it, and is that okay? And it's not okay with Christians. And the biggest problem that we have with Christians is they're blinded. They're blinded by the God of this age. You know, they're not supposed to be, but they are. They can't see the truth of what's going on, like with the rebuilding of the third temple and the coming of the Antichrist and supporting organizations and groups of people in countries that have the number one homosexual destination in the world and who basically believe that abortion to the ninth month is okay and great, and no matter what they do, whether they start committing infanticide or start World War III and wipe out two-thirds of the population of the planet, it's okay. It's not okay. None of that's okay. But they're blinded by that because of the Scofield Bible. They're blinded to that because of what happened with Darby and with Samuel Untermeyer and Scofield, and they're blinded by it. It's been programmed now into us for about 200 years, and so they don't want to stop and look and see what the truth is. So it's important that we understand who's in charge, what they're doing, and ask ourselves, is that okay? It's not okay what's happened to the United States, especially with Roe v. Wade. That's not okay. It's not okay that prayer got taken out of the schools back in the 60s. That's not okay. Now, another thing that's not okay, I'm going to talk about this for a second, is alcoholism in the United States. I'm going to talk about that for just a second. We've got a big problem with alcohol in the United States. About 1 out of 10 people, they're genetically predisposed. If they start drinking alcohol, they get addicted to it. My mom was a functioning alcoholic. My grandfather, her father, was a functioning alcoholic. My brother pretty much is a non-functioning alcoholic. And, you know, I see all of this stuff, you know, and what happens to these folks and how they destroy their lives. I mean, I've never heard anybody say, my life was a wreck and then I started drinking and everything worked out okay. And the problem with the alcohol is the image that they've given to us through the media of how you're supposed to be really cool if you come in and you order, you know, a Chevitz and water, or you order, you know, a martini shaken, not stirred, and all the other stuff. And there's an interesting guy, his name's Jordan Peterson. He himself, however, was hooked on on benzodiazepines. But he shares a powerful perspective on alcohol addiction, and he talks about how to beat it, though he got used to getting to really deal with his benzodiazepines. And it says, the negative impact that alcohol has had on society is staggering. But with growing demand for legal access to this mind-expanding therapeutic recreational drugs like cannabis and psychedelics, more people are exploring life without alcohol. It says, booze is deeply embedded into our culture and practically ambiguous now. Not only that, we live in one of the most stressful, anxiety-inducing times in human history. We're all struggling to pretend like we have our stuff together, but in reality, so many people take benzodiazepines that we call this generation Xanax. It's surprising that it is unsurprising that for people who drink, it seems impossible to enjoy life without alcohol. I knew this a lot. Remember, we had a German beer tavern. We owned it when I was a kid, and I saw this. They had to drink every single day. In an interesting conversation with the comedian Theo Vaughn, a Canadian psychology professor and author of 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos, Jordan Peterson talks about addiction to alcohol and shares valuable perspectives on why people drink. Here's what he says. The funny thing is, if you're trying to stop drinking, you need something better than alcohol, and alcohol's pretty good, so you better find something a lot better. That what he's saying is that you're basically getting drunk and you basically get to get rid of your problems. So what are you going to do? You might say, why do people drink so much? But if you like alcohol, that's a stupid question. So why stop? Well, you do stupid things when you're drunk. You hurt yourself. You compromise your health. It's really hard on the people around you, and you tend to turn into a liar. And it screws up your life. This is Jordan Peterson's comments. It's kind of like, yeah, it's pretty fun. Yeah, well, it is. But you need something better than that. And what's better isn't straight, and it's not making mistakes. That's all prohibition. So what's better is you need adventure. And so that's what he's talking about. You're looking for something else in your life. Now, there are people out there who get addicted to alcohol because they want to use it to sleep. And they want to basically use it to calm down. And they're just going to start drinking a bottle of wine or a glass of wine every night because it's supposed to be good for their heart. And all of these people have the same problem. You know, they believe the lie of the drug companies and not the drug companies, but the alcohol companies. And they want to believe the fact that if they drink, they're going to be cool. And if they drink, they're going to have a better life. And it's not true. None of it's true. And let's look at the alcohol, fatty liver disease, and cirrhosis of the liver. Here's another article that came out of USA Today. It's on the health section. It says, they were young. They thought they had time, then they nearly died, and some of them did die of liver disease. Indianapolis, although Rachel Martin would never deny she had a drinking problem, she figured years would pass before it would take a toll on her health. After all, she wasn't even 40, and she had managed to eke out about 2 years of complete sobriety about a decade ago. Even when she was drinking, she would hit the bottle hard for 3 weeks, but then go cold turkey for a week. So when Martin started feeling off about a year and a half ago, she tried to ignore the symptoms. She lost her appetite, her skin itched, and as she put it, she lost her waist as fluid accumulated in her abdomen. For 4 months, she continued to drink, but in mid-March, she decided she was done. The next day, she finally went to the doctor and found out she had cirrhosis of the liver, something that did not surprise her, given her internet-aided self-diagnosis. What did surprise her, however, was what the doctor said. If she did not stop drinking, she may die within a month. And even if she did quit, she might not make it and be dead in 3 months. You know it's bad for you. You know it's not healthy. All at whatever, but you think, oh, I have no family history of this, said the Bloomingdale resident, who now is 39. She says, I know people that drink more than I do, and they're fine. And I have years before I had to worry about this. Guys, here's the problem. Women don't metabolize alcohol as well as men do. It's very, very difficult for them to do it and stay healthy. It wreaks havoc on their liver. It's like running razor blades through it. Women should not drink at all. And then I see all of these ladies are having their wine tasting or their wine parties, and they're going out and drinking wine every day. And no one bothers to tell them that just 1 ounce of alcohol a day decreases the body's ability to burn body fat by up to 35%, and it destroys an enzyme called lipase, which basically burns fat instead of storing fat. And so you start getting fat and fatter and fatter. So the more you drink, the fatter you get. So the you get more depressed, you want to drink more, so you still get fatter. You say, well, that's awful, Ted. You were saying things that just aren't politically correct. They can't help it. They've gained weight. Look, here's the deal. There are a lot of things that you can do to lower your body fat. There are a lot of things that you can do to be healthy. Alcohol is not one of them. Okay, it's unhealthy to drink. You say, well, I've got a thyroid problem. Okay, well, then get off the fluorine, the chlorine, and the bromine and start taking iodine. Get your thyroid booted back up again. How about that? How about you start eating six small meals a day and not gorging yourself on sugar, which basically then elevates insulin. The insulin stores that extra sugar as body fat. How about you go in and you do everything you possibly can to stay healthy and exercise on a regular basis? How about we do all that? And if we do all that, what ends up happening is we start finding that our health starts improving and our looks start improving and how we look in a swimsuit or how we look to our spouse starts improving. I had a person that I knew who was a hairdresser. She'd won like a local beauty contest, and she was really pretty. She was young, and her husband went off to basically war, and she started drinking alcohol every day and living on diet sodas. And within a year, he came back, and she'd gained 100 pounds. I'm not making it up. She'd gained 100 pounds in a year. The beauty queen basically wasn't beautiful anymore. He said, well, that's fat shaming. You can't say that. Wait a minute. Stop. I've had enough of all of this stuff. Let me explain something to you. When you're 100 pounds or 200 pounds overweight, and I'm not picking on you because, man, I have to watch my weight every single day. I monitor it by getting on the scales every day because my family's a group of really big people out of Germany, and they get huge, 300-400 pounders, and I have to really watch it. So I try to maintain – I always try to keep my weight under 200. But here's what I've learned, and this is what I've learned very, very clearly. When you start getting basically morbidly obese or heavy or 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 pounds, 200 pounds overweight, whatever you want to be, whatever you want to pick it, your health starts to be affected, especially if you're 50 to 100 pounds overweight. You're going to have problems with your liver. You're going to have problems with your pancreas. You're going to have problems with your joints. You're going to have problems with your blood sugar. And all these different diseases will come upon you. You say, well, it doesn't make a difference. I like to eat. Okay, I got that. I had a chiropractor who was a friend of mine. He weighed literally 500 pounds. I'm not joking. And every day he would go out for lunch, and he'd go over to Pizza Hut or wherever he'd go and get two of these large, extra-large pizzas with the extra-thick crust and drink like literally a gallon of soda with it every day. Guys, I'm not making it up. He told me this. And you think, well, wow. And I kept talking to him. And the guy was brilliant. Oh, my gosh, was he brilliant. He was a genius. And yet, he had to retire in his 40s because he was so overweight and his joints gave out on him. He started having such arthritic problems that the last year he was in practice, he literally had to walk around on crutches because he couldn't walk because of the pain in his feet and his ankles. And it hasn't changed. Now, I spoke to him a while back. I don't know if he's still alive or not. But here's the thing. Is that God's best for you? No, it's not. You've got to learn at a very young age. And this goes right back to what Austin was talking about a few minutes ago. When Austin was young, I had him in the gym working out with me all the time. Now, he would be wild when he was little. I mean, you know, the gym kind of got mad at me because I had him in a public gym. They, oh, you can't bring these young kids in here. And I just kind of kept bringing him in. And then I put a little workout area here at the house, and we work out here at the house now, so he was always there with me. And he got used to being in the gym with me, watching his dad work out. Well, guess what? He wanted to start working out. Now, he's doing the same thing with Hunter. And to this day, you can see Austin's pictures. He still works out. Harrison, same thing. I had him in there doing squats and working out all the way till he was like 16, 17. And now he's working out again. Alexis, my 19-year-old, she's in the gym working out again because I had her working out when she was young. Train them up in the way they should go. And when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Guys, it's very difficult for you to take a child and have a sedentary lifestyle for you and your wife and sit around on the couch and never exercise, never hike, never go out in the woods, never do anything, and expect that child to be any different. See, it's important that we set an example for our children. And one of the examples we have to set, guys, listen to me, is don't have alcohol in your house. If you're going to use alcohol for medicinal reasons or whatever, and you don't have a tendency to be alcoholic or you don't have alcoholic genes in your system, it's okay if you have like a glass of, you know, of whatever, whiskey or something in the house. If somebody's got a cold and you want to make a tonic for them, you know, or whatever, a toddy. But not if you've got alcoholism in your family, or not if you've got a problem with alcohol. You don't need ever to have alcohol in your house, ever. You think, well, I can't believe you just said you could do that. Wait, guys, let me explain something to you. Let's stop for a second. All of my Christian friends, listen to me. What do you think's in NyQuil? What do you think? It's got ethanol in it. It's basically got whiskey in it. It's not whiskey like you'd get from Jack Daniels, but it's whiskey. It's ethanol, alcohol, okay? And they mix it together with Tylenol, which is a huge no-no from liver damage. So you'll sit there and you'll suck down two or three caps of NyQuil, never say a word, but point the finger at somebody who makes a toddy for one of their kids or for you or whatever, or your wife because you got a health problem or you're trying to sleep at night. Don't get like that. If you're hammering the NyQuil, which you shouldn't do because of the Tylenol, what difference does it make? But again, I'm telling you this for the third time now, and I know I've told you twice, and I know I'm being redundant. If you got alcoholism in your family or you've got an alcohol problem, don't have that in your house, period. Don't have the NyQuil in your house either. It's just really unhealthy stuff to do. But, guys, think through what you're doing with your children. Think through what you're doing with alcohol. It's one of those things you don't need to put into your system at all. Well, Austin, what do you think?
And back to the gym aspect of it, there's no doubt about it. I mean, getting kids active and keeping them consistently active is also important. And like I grew up with Dad, like he was just saying, working out. And I mean, it's just, it's second nature. And I'm the same thing with Hunter now. But also too, as you become older and as an adult, and as, you know, we always find when you start getting older, a lot of times you have to watch your weight tighter. You know, when you're not 25 anymore and you're not, you know, basically running around all the time and you've got a family and kids and you're constantly active and you got cortisol, it's more difficult to keep body fat off. And that's why I always encourage people, if you're healthy and you can exercise, put that disclaimer in there. I'm not telling people to go do this if you're not in good shape, but if you're already healthy and you already exercise and you can physically do so, one of the best ways to burn body fat is first thing in the morning doing fasted cardio. This is something that I've always had a staple as, and I've done it. I've had bodybuilders do it. I used to do it when I was competing. I'm probably going to start doing it again for this summer. And just getting up first thing in the morning, empty stomach, you know, guzzle down some water, which you already do. You should already be doing already first thing in the morning. And then making a big glass of water, like 15, 20, 30 ounces, however much you need, and throwing in two scoops of the Muscle Blast. The reason why you do this is the Muscle Blast is essentially a full amino acid spectrum formula. It's designed to basically protect and maintain muscle tissue. That's the whole reason we put that formula together. It's an amino acid formula. You can also drink it while you're exercising, but that's another one as well. But first thing in the morning, get up, whether it's an elliptical bike, whether it's a stationary elliptical machine, whether it's a Stairmaster, whatever your preference and your joints preference are. I'm not a big runner. I don't like running. I used to run a lot when I was younger. When I was going to the Marine Corps, I used to run all the time. More power to them. If you want to go run around, it's fantastic. If you want to do that, however, it's horrible on your joints. I don't recommend it. I don't think it's very healthy. If you want to go do that, though, that's completely on you. Me personally, I like elliptical machines. There's no impact on them. You can still get that cardiovascular stimulant, and you can constantly get going and getting that blood flow going and circulating. But getting that drink in the morning with a Muscle Blast, starting on the elliptical machine, me personally, I usually stick with about 15 minutes first thing. That's what I do starting off. And I'll slowly build that time frame up depending on how my body fat is doing. I'll take it all the way up to 20, sometimes 25 minutes. Don't generally go longer than that because you're fasting. I recommend generally about 15 to 20 minutes and keep your heart rate at a moderate level depending where you're at. You don't want to be all the way through the roof on it because remember, your glycogen's through the floor. You've been fasting all night long. You haven't eaten anything at all. So you don't have to get in there and go try to run a marathon and run your heart rate through the roof and get yourself worn out. Not to mention, you will start getting lightheaded and dizzy if you do that. Just a disclaimer. I like nice, steady cardio first thing in the morning for about 15 minutes while you're drinking a big thing of amino or a Muscle Blast. Now, the benefit of that as well, not only are you stimulating the thyroid, not only are you stimulating the metabolism, you're also circulating blood first thing in the morning while you're drinking a large quantity of water. So you're flushing your liver out, you're flushing your kidneys out, you're circulating your blood, you're getting your heart pumping, you're getting energy going. And it's ironic, every time that I always do this in the morning, I just did it the other day just to start off. I haven't done it in months of fasted cardio. I did it the other morning, about 15 minutes. I was profusely sweating for like 2 hours afterwards. So just a heads up on that, because what happens is your metabolism goes into overdrive. So then after you get off the cardio, you've already drunk the Muscle Blast, you got a bunch of water in your system, your body's circulating, you're hydrated, you're ready to go. Then I go in and eat a breakfast, whether it's a protein shake or it's a whole eggs, 4 or 5 whole eggs with a little bit of oatmeal or a banana and a protein shake. It all depends on what I'm doing, but it's always a low glycemic meal as well. And so what that does is that immediately gets calories in your system that puts your metabolism and your thyroid on blast, because now you're like, okay, I've been fasted, I'm doing cardio, everything's going, and now you stimulate it with food and your body just goes into hyperdrive burning body fat because now it's not worried anymore about trying to store any body fat or store anything. It's got food in the system now. It's happy. So it just starts burning, burning, burning. And on top of that as well, if you throw in the thyroid support and the iodine as a daily supplementation, that will really, really push your thyroid and also your metabolism into overdrive. Just a heads up on that, because I know it's February now. A lot of people are starting to kind of phase out of winter. People are going to be going to the beach, especially down here in Florida. People are going to be getting ready to go on, you know, I don't know about cruises anymore, Dad. I hope a lot of people probably aren't going on cruises anytime soon right now. I won't be going on a cruise anytime soon. I used to like cruises, but after what I saw that happened with this crystal ship, kind of staying away from that. But just getting back in shape is always good, because everybody a lot of times puts on a little bit of weight over Christmas time. There's no doubt about it. Everybody does it. You eat too much ice cream, or eat too much pie or organic pie or whatever you're eating. And so this is a really, really easy way to start burning body fat really effectively, and then, of course, dialing in your meals and eating 5 to 6 to 7 small meals a day. Now, that part can be a little bit more difficult to dial in if you haven't done that before, but I encourage people to start, and start small. You know, don't try to go crazy and do 15 meal preps at a time and store them on your fridge with Tupperware everywhere. That's great if you're already good at doing that, but it can become very overwhelming and very, very difficult to maintain that degree of strictness on your diet and food prep and cooking on a regular basis. If you at least get your diet under control and you're staying away from the high glycemic foods and you're eating, you know, 4 or 5 small meals a day, and then you start in the fasted cardio in the morning with the muscle blast, I promise you it will really, really stimulate the thyroid as well when you throw in the thyroid support and the iodine with it. For all those people that basically say they have sluggish thyroids, as Dad said, stay away from the chlorinated water, drink distilled water, and stay away from the bread. I talked to an individual the other day, friends were over, and she's having all these thyroid issues. And I said, you need to be on the thyroid support and the iodine. She's like, yeah, I got some of it. You know, I'm still having some issues with it. I said, well, if you cut out all the bread, pasta, pizza, dough, anything that could possibly have any exposure to bromine in it. Oh, no, I love my pasta. I love my bread. There you go. If you're having issues with your weight, bread, pasta is like the number one thing that I always tell people, cut it out of your diet. Cut it out. There is no useful purpose to be shoving a bunch of pasta, bread, and wheat in your diet all the time if you already are having thyroid issues and or if you're already having body fat issues that you're trying to fight. That's just a side tip on there, Dad, that I wanted to bring up.
Well, the bromine, remember, bromine, fluorine, and chlorine are all halogens, and the thyroid thinks that it's basically iodine, because iodine is a halogen and it absorbs it. You know, we need about 1.5 grams of, you know, potassium iodide in our thyroid at any given time. It works great for the immune system, but if you're pumping all this other stuff in it, the thyroid won't take it up. It just gets confused, and that's why we have so many problems with hyperthyroidism and hypothyroidism and all these different conditions, you know, Graves' disease, all of this stuff, Hashimoto's, all of this stuff is all because of diet in most cases. You start eating clean. I had a nanny here years ago, and she was, you know, pretty much staying in the house with us with the kids and a little, and she had all these health problems. She's in her early 20s. I mean, she was like on 10 different prescription meds. It was crazy. And, oh, she'd been diagnosed with all this stuff. She started eating clean and taking supplements here. After about 5 or 6 months, she was off all of her medications. She worked with her doctor, had put her on the meds, and they got her off of everything, and it was all diet-related, all of it. See, think about that for a second. If she had never eaten badly, and she'd been on the proper supplements to begin with, would she ever been diagnosed with these different diseases, and would she have ever been put on medication? The answer is no. It's like saying, if you eat the right, if you're an adult onset diabetic, and you're able to control your diet, and then control your blood sugar through controlling your diet, and you're able to come off all the medication you're on for your blood sugar, doesn't it make sense that you've been on that diet to begin with? You never would become a diabetic. That's what they found in that Indian journal with the use of turmeric and dietary changes. Very, very important. And the one word we didn't mention today is glucagon. Glucagon is a hormone, and it's basically the opposite of what insulin does. Glucagon releases stored body fat for fuel, and it allows you to really burn fat. And the problem with glucagon is once you eat any sugar in your body has to dump insulin, which is basically antagonistic with glucagon, and you stop burning body fat. That's why Austin's saying, when you have a high protein meal, like amino acid drink in the morning when you're doing your cardio, it releases glucagon. Your body releases glucagon because there's no sugar in your system. There's no energy in your system, and it wants to burn anything it can. And so it'll burn fat if you give it the opportunity, if you do fasting cardio. But again, Austin was right. If you've got a problem with blood sugar, or if you get dizzy and all that kind of stuff, you got to be real careful with fasting cardio, because you can get dizzy and pass out. And that's really important that you start doing that very, very, very slowly. By the way, the Boy Scouts of America have now filed for bankruptcy because of child sexual abuse. To completely change the topic, by the way. And again, this is Frankfurt School. This is exactly what they were planning on doing. This is exactly what they've done. They infiltrated the Boy Scouts with a bunch of doggone pedophiles. They knew they could destroy the Boy Scouts. But remember, the Boy Scouts, you know, the Eagle Scout, all the different ranks, it's pretty much gone now in the United States. Very few people even do the Boy Scouts anymore. And, you know, and it's sad because it was basically a staple in the United States, which promoted nationalism and promoted alpha males. I mean, it really did. And I feel sorry for them. But they allowed themselves to be infiltrated, I guess I should say. And these folks got into the leadership of the Boy Scouts. They got into the area scout places. They started having a bunch of gay guys get in there and start being scout leaders and trying to incorporate their gayness to the pedophilia. I mean, what a mess. And that's why they're filing for bankruptcy now. Also, fecal transmission. I've talked about this repeatedly with the Zika virus. Let me go on and talk about that for just a minute. It's now saying that the feces of infected people shed the coronavirus, and that's why they say it's expanding so quickly. And now they're finally talking to you, like I talked to you guys about feces and fecal coliform several weeks ago when we talked about it. It's so critically important that you wash your hands in the bathrooms. I'm not going to cover that again. By the way, two of the Diamond Princess people have now died. And here's what's interesting. They're now releasing the Diamond Princess folks. They're actually letting them leave. They're actually letting them out, you know, by the thousands now. And what you have to get is this. When we had the biochemistry experiment of swabbing all the doorknobs to see what surfaces had fecal coliform on them at Florida State, we put those petri dishes in an incubator, and we kept them in there for several days or several weeks or whatever it took as far as what we were trying to grow to find out what we could grow in that particular petri dish. This coronavirus and this Princess Carnival ship, this is like a giant incubator, like a giant, you know, petri dish. And these people now have been exposed to a lot of stuff, and they may not be showing, I mean, they may be testing negative for the disease, but actually have the disease, and they could be shedding the virus. And now these thousands of people are being released and being sent all over the world. What kind of unbelievable? First of all, they should have been taken off the ship immediately and isolated in, you know, in basically containment wards and not an area that shares all of its own air and air supply with all the other cabins. This is why when you go into an intensive care ward or someone's got some type of disease, they're quarantined, they don't let anybody come in. And the unit itself has its own air system. And they have curtains up and plastic curtains up and all kinds of crazy stuff. And you've got to go through, you know, decontamination when you come in, when you go out. You've got to change your gloves. You've got to change your outfit. You've got to dump your stuff. I mean, they didn't do this on the ship. This ship was used like a giant beta test to determine, I guess, the efficacy of this doggone disease and how quickly it could basically cause all of these problems. I don't know what they did. All I know is it's not good, and now these people are being released all over the planet. And, of course, the death rate continues to go up. Chinese are still lying and saying that basically they're not having as many cases now being basically reported, but yet the statistical analysis that was done in advance of the coronavirus has been 99.99% accurate, which in statistics is complete and total impossibility because there's too many variables that are involved. In other words, they set up a formula of how many people are going to get infected, and it's been 99.99% accurate. That's not possible. That's called fudging the numbers, and they're basically just totally lying. The Chinese government is. This thing in China has turned into a giant nightmare, and it's not getting any better. By the way, the coronavirus, this is an interesting article from the Daily Mail, and I have it posted on the website. It said, every pore on my body opened. Now, think about what I just said. British victim describes what it's like to have the coronavirus as he's treated in Japan after catching the virus on an infection-riddled ship, the Diamond, and I always like to include in here, the Carnival cruise ship Diamond Princess, as two other passengers die. And he said, I'm going to read it again. There's a reason I'm saying this. Every pore on my body opened. You say, well, what the heck? What does that even mean? Well, let's just talk about that for just one second. There's an article that was written by Makia Freeman. You know, that's basically a pseudonym for one of the guys who puts out a lot of stuff. And he's talking about the coronavirus and 5G and what it does. And, you know, here's what he says. I posted this one on my website too, on Health Master's website, on our website. It says, 5G and electroporation DNA vaccines, both producing pulse EMF waves. He's talking about the 5G tie-in with the coronavirus in Wuhan. Now, listen to what he says. Listen to the words that are being used here. I've just read you the other stuff from the Daily Mail. Consider the implications of this for a moment. The technology exists to use EMFs to open your very skin pores and inject foreign DNA into your bloodstream and cells. This is an extreme violation of your body sovereignty and it can have long-lasting effects because of genetic mutation, changing your very, very DNA, which is in biological blueprint and the physical essence of who you are. He's saying that these 5G waves and this coronavirus are linked, and they can open up your very pores. Now, think about it. I'm going to read it again with the other guy I just said. Every pore on my body opened. British victim describes what it's like to have coronavirus as he's treated in Japan after catching virus on infection-riddled carnival ship Diamond Princess. Guys, there's something going on with this whole 5G. We've talked about it. If it's just to reduce the body's ability, the body's immune system, or it's possible to project the disease state onto the people in the area, I've told you the 5G is a weapon system. It is a weapons system. And it was released and put into full implementation in Wuhan. So, again, I'm not saying that this was the problem and this is what caused everything. I'm just reading you stuff that basically is tying a lot of these little loops together to make you guys aware of the fact that you don't want 5G in your neighborhood, and you don't want these directed energy weapons, you know, with basically directional antennae that can be focused on anyone or anything in your area. One more comment here on this, and I want to change the topic on this again. Director Steven Spielberg's daughter, Kyla, she's now announcing she's having a porn career. He's basically approving this. She said that he's in support of her having a porn career. And, you know, here's the thing. Let's say this. A person says to you, you know, I want to be an electrician. Great. Have at it. Your son says that to you. Your daughter says that to you. You know, I want to be a plumber. That's great. That's a great profession. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be all of these different things. And you go, that's great. I'll support you in your endeavor. But your daughter comes to you and tells you that she wants to screw a bunch of guys for a living, and that she wants to basically use her body as a sexual object, and she wants to risk having all types of sexual diseases, and you support the decision. What is wrong with him? What is wrong with him? I would say, look, honey, tell you what. You want to get into TV, you want to get into film. Yeah, I'm Steven Spielberg. I can pretty much make that happen. I can get you trained as a producer. I can get you trained as a director. I can get you trained with anything you want to do. But, honey, please, please don't do this. Don't turn into some kind of porn pervert. Oh, not him. Totally supports you. You know why? Because, you know, the Kabbalah doesn't think anything's wrong with that. They don't think anything's wrong with it. They think it's okay. Remember, number one homosexual destination, sex resort, sex city in the world for weird, perverted sex, Tel Aviv. Always remember that, guys. And so here, his daughter is saying this, and instead of him trying to dissuade her, he encourages her. What a bunch of sickos, Austin. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to remember, that whole group out there in Hollywood, I mean, they're just steeped in debauchery. Most of them are so desensitized to that type of behavior and that lifestyle because they're just, they have no limits. They have no line in the sand. The ethics, the morals, the values, in most cases, not everybody, but in most cases out there, don't exist. I mean, I've known people that have lived out there. I've talked to people that have lived out there. And I mean, in that whole lifestyle is just really, really everything involving it. Just the movies, the porn, Hollywood, Southern California. I mean, it's just, it's an area, like I said, I would never recommend anybody living there. Not even just the aspect of they're a full-blown failed communist state and they have insane taxes and they absolutely hate guns and hate Americans. The fact of everything they're involved in out there, I wouldn't want to be in that area of the world when God's judgment comes down. I'm just being quite frank with you. I know we have listeners that live in California, and that's completely up to you guys. Everybody has a right to live wherever they want to live. But to me, my house, that's an area over there that I think the energy, the negative energy, everything that surrounds that area is just not a good place. And all you got to do is start looking at what comes out of it and what's being done over there and what's being promoted out of there to get a pretty clear-cut example of what's happening. Also, too, as you were saying, what we've seen with this whole coronavirus, you know, the numbers that we're being told repeatedly make no sense as far as with the death numbers on this. I mean, the amount of people that have gotten infected and the amount of people that have allegedly died are minimal in reality of the scope of what you see on a daily basis with just any type of diseases, or, you know, a pneumonia, anything, just on a daily basis, which begs to the question of why is it that China has pretty much come to a screeching halt, and that there's hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of millions of people that are quarantined basically now in China. And I've told you guys this before repeatedly, this is either one of the most effective psychops that we've seen in this century and basically in this decade, or there's something else going on behind the scenes. And the same thing that Dad brought up with 5G. Remember, 5G is a frequency weapon. How do we know that 5G can't mutate some of these viruses? We know that, I mean, viruses can easily be mutated. I mean, there's all kinds of different spectrums of things that can mutate viruses upon what their exposure at, what they're given. How do we know that the 5G frequency cannot be used as basically a mutation device to cause these viruses? I'm not saying it's doing that. I'm just bringing it up out there because, I mean, we know that Wuhan was one of the top first main full 5G cities in all of China. There's only a couple of them over there. They've implemented it. They've brought 5G in various areas of China. But from, to my knowledge and my research, it was like Wuhan and like three other cities. They were full-blown test bank rollout test cities for a full 5G network in every area of the planet. I mean, that's why it's like everywhere. Everywhere there's 5G towers, everywhere. 5G boxes, 5G transmitters, everything in Wuhan. Just something to bring up. Also, too, in other news, I've talked about this a couple weeks, so I'm going to bring it up again. Is that vitamin C administered during the duration of medical ventilation, now they're saying, in critical care patients significantly reduced the amount of time in the ICU. This is why I bring up vitamin C on a regular basis. Vitamin C is crucial. In five controlled trials, including 471 patients requiring ventilation for over 10 hours, vitamin C shortened ventilation time on average by 25%, according to a meta-analysis published in the Journal of Intensive Care. The vitamin C, they said, can influence the cardiovascular system through its involvement in the synthesis of norepinephrine and energy metabolisms through its participation in the synthesis of carnitine. In randomized trials, vitamin C lowered blood pressure and decreased bronchial constriction. A previous meta-analysis of 12 controlled trials found that vitamin C reduced ICU stay on average by 8%. And they said critical care patients often had very, very low vitamin C plasma levels. And they said a few grams per day are needed for critically ill patients to increase their plasma vitamin C levels to a normal range. This was done out of the University of Helsinki, Finland, and carried out a systematic review of vitamin C for mechanically ventilated critical care patients. On average, the vitamin C administration shortened ventilation time by 14%. So, I mean, vitamin C is crucial, guys. And, I mean, it's a safe, low-cost, effective, essential nutrient that is crucial. And in most cases, now, when you see this, in most cases that individuals are coming down and having these really, really bad diseases, these real bad illnesses, almost invariably, not all the time, but in most cases, they have very, very low levels of vitamin C blood plasma in their body. So it's crucial you keep your vitamin C levels all the time. I mean, I've been hammering vitamin C lately with everything that's going on, just keeping my vitamin C levels elevated and D3 levels elevated on a regular basis. Because the nice thing about the vitamin C, even the oral vitamin C that we have, is the best way to take it is in small dosages throughout the day. If you take a massive, gigantic dose of it in one dose, it's going to cause basically bowel tolerance. It's going to end up giving you diarrhea, just to put that clear. We talked about it repeatedly, but I'm going to reiterate it. So if you take it in small dosages, say 1,000, 1,500 milligrams, 2,000 milligrams at a time, depending on how your body tolerates it, and you take that 2, 3, 4 times, spread out all the way throughout the day and into the evening, your body can usually not only absorb it and assimilate it very well, it's not going to cause any of the side effects as far as with the bowels. That's just something I want to bring up on here because it is crucial. Everybody keeps their immune system up right now, even with the flu that's going on, everything that we're being exposed to with this weird weather. I mean, down here in Florida, this is some of the most bizarre weather I've ever experienced in my life down here in Florida last year. I mean, again, today, it's like 75, 80 degrees, completely overcast skies. I mean, completely overcast. But this rainy, but not rainy, this like haze spooge that the clouds are putting off. And of course, last couple days, we got deluged with chemtrails day in and day out, got sprayed down here like with Raid. I mean, it's disgusting to see this happening. So just be aware of it, understand what's going on, and do your best to keep your immune system strong.
Oh, by the way, one more story here real quick, and then we're out of time again. Netanyahu is now boasting that he has destroyed free speech in America. Wow. Israeli caretaker Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has been indicted for corruption and is facing an election soon, boasted that his Ministry of Strategic Affairs has managed to undermine the First Amendment protections for free speech in the United States by lobbying state legislatures to pass laws forbidding the boycott of Israel due to the Palestinian issue. I don't even know what to say about this guy, except I really dislike him. And, you know, but I will say that the statement he made, if it's indeed his statement, if they're not just, you know, doing a little bit of hyperbole with what he has said, it really is sad that this has been allowed to happen in the United States of America. Because I posted this on the website. You guys can take a look at it, see what you think. Hey, I love you guys. I had the privilege of praying for you today. And I'm going to tell you that every day because I do. And gosh, there's so many of you now that I have a list that I pray for individual people all the time. And I mean, mention your name to in prayer to God, like on a regular basis. I love you guys. I got to speak to Randy last night, a friend of mine out of Texas. That was a blast. Enjoyed that. He was shocked that I called him at 10 o'clock because he had some health issues, and I was calling to make sure he was okay. Yeah, I really did that because I really do care about you guys, and I love you. I appreciate you. Austin, close it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, guys. And again, thank you for the regular support. Thank you for a lot of the emails. Again, I've told you I've gotten a lot of them responded to. I'm getting buttoned up on some more this week. Busy week as always. And just, we thank you for the support, and we're doing our best to try to just give everybody the most accurate, up-to-date advice we possibly can on everything and information with these shows at the office. So please, if you need anything, feel free to give us a call here at Health Masters or check out the website at healthmasters.com. The B complex, our methylated B vitamin, incredibly effective bioactive B vitamin, that's huge, huge product. That's one I take every day, really good for energy and adrenals, is on sale for product of the week, over 15% off right now. Went ahead and did a big sale on that for you guys because I know it's a very popular product. Everybody likes it. So it's on sales product of the week until next Wednesday, 15% off. So be sure to check it out at healthmasters.com and also vote for what you want to see win next week on product of the week. If you need anything, give us a call, email us. Feel free to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Send out a lot of information on that. A lot of people enjoy it because we send out the show every single day, so you don't have to look for it. The information that's in it, the link to listen to the show, everything's right there on the website or on the email that they send you every day. So again, thank you for the support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.